Where would we be without heaven? Now just think about it. What would we ever know about heaven were it not for the blessed, wonderful, precious, infinite, infallible Word of God? Turn with me, please, to two passages almost saying the same thing. First of all, look over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 64 and verse 4. And when you found your place there, Isaiah 64, 4, turn back to the New Testament to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Isaiah 64, 4. Now pay close attention to what Isaiah says and then to what Paul says about what Isaiah wrote. Isaiah 64, 4. Isaiah says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them, for him that waiteth for him." And then over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it almost seems like Paul just kind of borrowed Isaiah's words and wrote in Isaiah, from Isaiah in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to what Paul says. "But as it is written," when was it written? Way back in the Old Testament. Who wrote it? Isaiah wrote it. So he just kind of quotes Isaiah when he says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." If we didn't have the Bible to tell us something about heaven, to cause us to long for heaven, our imaginations would just be left to just wander. And oh my goodness, what would we think of heaven if we didn't have the Bible to help us? We'd end up looking like some of these science fiction movies you see on TV sometimes, or hear about in the movie scene. The thought of heaven, I don't know about you, but I can answer for me. The thought of heaven fascinates me. It excites me. It really does. If you've got a curious mind about what heaven's going to be like, then it ought to fascinate you. It ought to excite you too, thinking about what heaven is going to be. There's been over the years many books written about heaven. One of the favorite ones that I've read, I just somehow got out of my possession. I loaned it away or something. Somebody didn't get it back home, but there was a wonderful book written many, around the turn of the century by a great Bible scholar called Graham Scroggie. And the title of his book was What About Heaven? Wonderful book that it is. But there's been many books over the years written about heaven, and there's been numbers of movies made about heaven. But there was a movie made way back before I was born. I wasn't born until 1944. But in 1943, there was a movie that was made called Heaven Can Wait. And it was recreated again in 1978, and it got just grave reviews, the movie did. But it portrayed heaven as a comedy. How tragic indeed that it was. The TV personalities, the TV programs, the movie screens, the modern-day writers who even take the time to even barely mention heaven in their writings always take heaven and take it to task and mock about heaven, make heaven just a comedy of some sort. If you've seen on your TV, there's a new program coming on this fall sometime called God Friended Me. God Help Us is a better word for that one. But you see, the entertainment world has taken the thought of heaven and they just distorted it and perverted it, and they've taken a great Bible truth. Listen to me. Heaven talks about the culmination of my Christian experience. It talks about the end of God's plan for my life. It talks about where I'm going to spend eternity. And they've taken that wonderful, those wonderful truths, and they've just distorted them and mocked them, and they're a help to nobody. Really. It's sad to say. There's a great difference between the world's view of heaven and the biblical view of heaven. Well, let's look at the biblical view of heaven today in some respects, and it can be and will be greater, far greater, better than anything we could ever imagine. In our greatest imagination of heaven, it's going to be greater than this. If you dreamed about heaven, your grandest dream you would ever dream wouldn't even portray the grandeur of that place called heaven that we know that we're going to one day. Well, we know what the world thinks of heaven. We've seen the world's view of heaven, but you know something I find and I see many times in Christians' lives, some Christians think that heaven is just going to be a place of eternal boredom. They do. Some Christians even think that heaven is just going to be a place of an extended vacation, long naps, goodwill wishes for everyone, and just a time of peace. That doesn't even scratch the surface of what heaven is really going to be like. What the Bible says about heaven, even the little glimpses and pieces that the Bible gives me about heaven, excites me to the point that I long to want to go there. And I'm closer to heaven today than I've ever been, and so are you. I long to go there. At best, we can say this. Heaven's going to be a place, not of eternal boredom, not of just get well and do well and have a good time and take a nap and have a vacation. It's going to have a lot of energy in heaven. And there's going to be a lot of things to do in heaven that you and I can't even imagine what they're going to be. Beloved, listen. God, if you're a Christian, God has saved you from something. What is it? He saved you from your sins. He saved you from yourself. He saved you from Satan. He saved you from eternal doom. God saved us from something. But listen to me. On the other hand, God has saved us for something just as surely as He saved us from something. Surely, heaven's going to be much, much better than anything on earth you could ever imagine. Far better. Far more beautiful. Far more bold than any good thing you could think about in earth that we live in today. But you know something, beloved? Listen. You hadn't seen anything yet. Even John and all that grand vision God gave him of heaven couldn't describe heaven as it really is. We haven't seen anything yet. To try to wrap our minds around what heaven, at least in somewhat, is going to be like, we have to go to the Word of God. Because there's the only description of heaven, I mean the right description of heaven, that you'll ever get on this earth. There's many truths about heaven, but I want to just pick out three truths today, let us look at together, and kind of get us a little bit of a better view, possibly, of what our heaven that we're going to go inhabit one day, what it's going to be like. Three things you need to see from the Bible. You need to know, first of all, some facts about God and heaven. They kind of go together. You can't separate them. Some facts. Remember, I said last week that we as Christians, we deal in facts, not fiction. And we're going to get some Bible facts here about God and about heaven that'll help us, excite us in these days. More than 20 times in the Old Testament prophets have written about, and they say, they talk about God in the heavens. Now that could mean several different things. The God of heaven could mean that God lives in heaven, and He certainly does. It could mean that God is the ruler of heaven, and certainly He is. It could also mean that the God in heaven is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and we know He certainly did. So there could be several meanings about when they write about God in the heavens. But think this way. To know what heaven is at least somewhat going to be like, we've got to know what God's like. We've got to start with God. We've got to know who God is. Knowing about God lets our estimation of heaven just broaden to a great deal bigger than what we could ever think on our own. It just excites me to think about it. We need to know, first of all, God is big. And we need to know because God is big, heaven's going to be big also. The dimensions are there in the New Testament for you to look at if you want to look for them. But in every way, God's big. Now think about it. God's great and big in His love. For God so loved the world, all the world of mankind, that He gave His only begotten Son. That's a big love, wouldn't you say? Amen. God's big in love. God's big in grace. By grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. God's big in grace. Grace enough to save every individual on the face of the earth who's ever lived or ever will live. God's big in love. He's big in grace. God's big in forgiveness. Oh, He's a forgiving God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get a better concept of forgiveness and we could extend more forgiveness like our God does? God's big in forgiveness. He's big in grace. He's big in love. But look at this. God's big in blessings. Oh, His blessings. Jeremiah wrote and he said in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, God's grace and God's blessings are renewed to us every day. Amen. You can't count. The song says, count your many blessings. You can't count the blessings of God. They're too numerous. They're brand new every day that you've ever lived. God's big in blessings. God's big in grace. God's big in forgiveness. And God's big in love. In all these three areas or so that I'm going to look at, God is so much bigger and exceeds our imagination of these things to such a far degree. Paul kind of cleared it up. In his writing in the New Testament, if you look into the book of Ephesians with me just a moment, look in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul had some things to say about the bigness of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 17 through verse 21. In Ephesians 3, 17 through 21, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We've got to know something about our God to know something about the heaven that He's made for us. We've got to know something about the width and the length and the breadth and the depth. You see, God fills all the world in length and breadth and depth. In every direction and in every dimension, God fills the world with His presence. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. So He fills the earth with His presence, with His plans, and with His preparation for us. God is infinite. The presence of our God goes on and on and on. That's speaking about heaven too. It's bigger than we could ever imagine. It goes on and on and on. But Paul also says God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. This is a New Testament way of saying what Isaiah said back in chapter 55. He said, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways, His thoughts, His plans are so far above us that we cannot comprehend them. Far beyond our understanding, God's ways are. What does that mean then? That heaven is by far bigger and better and more beautiful than we could ever extend our minds to the limit. Listen, when you and I reach the limit of our understanding, there's just so much more beyond that. But listen, when you look at God, He's infinite. When you say God, beyond God, there is no more. He knows everything. He is everything. He made everything, heaven included. So you see, to know more about God, we can kind of know more about heaven, can't we? Amen. Well, even in John's writing, in the beautiful book of the Revelation, the vision that God gave John of heaven, he describes it there in chapter 21 and 22. At best, John's writing from a finite mind of man. It's a man writing, I know, moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God to do the writing. John used the grandest, greatest words that would be anybody's vocabulary to ever mention. He used the best words he knew how to describe something about heaven. But they're just man's words. He couldn't describe in graphic terms what heaven's really like. If you took the most educated man of today and the vocabularies of today and you tried to describe heaven, you could never describe the beauty and the grandeur of that place called heaven. Well, John tried. He did the best he could. I thank God for the revelation that God gave John. I'm thankful for what John wrote. I can kind of plug into man's words. But listen, when you think about God and heaven, it far exceeds anything and everything we could ever imagine. Heaven, I said, is going to be bigger than you think. It's going to be more beautiful than you think, greater than you think, because we know something about how big our God is. God does everything in a great and mighty way. So our heaven we're going to one day will be like our God. It'll be big. It'll be better. It'll be more beautiful than the most beautiful thing or place on this earth that you could ever view and describe. You could even look up into the heavens at night, look at the starry sky, how beautiful it is, and the planets, and look at the sun and the moon, all the wonderful things God has prepared. But none of them will describe the beauty of heaven. So we've got to know something about God to understand better something about heaven. But something else I want you to see, we've got to have a faith in heaven. A lot of folks think heaven's just a figment of somebody's imagination. No, it's not. It's a real place. It's a literal place. It's a prepared place. It's ready for us when we pass, as Pam was saying, her dad just passed away a year ago tomorrow. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where's the Lord? He's in heaven. So we're going to heaven. It's a good, wonderful place to think about, isn't it? Isaiah 64 said, I want you to pick up on something he said. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, 4, before the beginning of the world, God did some things. Paul didn't exactly say that, but he said about the same thing. God did some preparing before the beginning of the world. You see, God not only plans, folks, listen, He prepares. Didn't Jesus tell His disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare that place for you, I'm going to come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am there you can be also. So you see, God's a God of planning. God plans and God prepares. God has so much in store for us. Not only on earth, I'm living a wonderful life on earth. I'm enjoying life here. I suppose you are. I've enjoyed my 74 years God's given me here. I'm still enjoying earthly life, but listen. My ear hasn't heard, my eye hasn't seen, my heart hasn't comprehended even what's beyond this life that God has prepared for us. I can't imagine how much better it's going to be in eternity. But notice what he said, what Paul said. It's only for those who love Him. You don't love God, you're not going to love heaven. You're not going to be there. You got to love God to be in heaven. So God has planned and God has prepared for us a place called heaven. I want you to notice what Isaiah said. He said, from before the beginning of the world. Listen, beloved, before you and I ever came on the scene, before God ever created Adam or Eve or anybody else, these wonderful things of heaven were already prepared before the foundation of this world was ever laid. Did you ever think about that? Heaven's been there before we've been there, mankind speaking. Heaven. It's like the old hymn says, God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. Before the foundation of this world was ever laid, God looked at your faults and mine, your sins and mine, and He prepared a place for us and prepared forgiveness for us that we could accept His precious Son and one day go there and be with them forever and forever and forever. Before time began, God planned, God prepared things that you have never thought of, that I've never thought of. Things, of course, we haven't seen. Things we haven't heard. We've heard little glimpses and pieces about it, but we hadn't heard much about it, have we? But God prepared all this before you and I came about. He planned for eternity, listen, before we in time came on the scene. How wonderful God's looking out for us, prepared for us. Well, I want you to look on the other side of the issue. How the world has mishandled the doctrine of heaven. Heaven is a spiritual truth, and it has to be spiritually discerned because the Bible tells us the natural man, the natural mind cannot perceive, cannot understand, cannot discern spiritual truths. They have to be revealed unto them, unto us, by the precious Holy Ghost. It's only the Holy Ghost who can reveal God to us. It's only the Holy Ghost who can reveal at least parts about heaven to us from the blessed Word of God. If the Holy Ghost lives in you, listen to me, if He lives in you, then God has a future plan for you that you just can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. So when you study your Bible, let me give you a good piece of advice that I try to take. When you study your Bible, and you read the Word of God, why don't you just, before you read the Word of God, just pause. Just bow your head and ask the Holy Ghost, Dear Holy Spirit of God, would you open up my understanding to what this passage is or those passages you read? Open up my understanding. Give me what you want me to have from this particular portion of your Word. And you will be surprised how He, the Spirit of truth, will reveal the truth to you and enlighten your heart, enlighten your mind, excite you about the Word of God, and excite you about the prospect of going to heaven one day. It all is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. He'll reveal things you've never heard of before from the Word. It always amazes me when I'm studying a passage of Scripture that I've read many, many times before and I've preached from many, many times before, and I come across it again and the Holy Spirit reveals something I had never seen before. That passage jumps off the pages into your heart. You're going to be blessed. Amen. You're going to be blessed. Well, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and teach you. And He will. That's part of His ministry in your life, is to guide you and to teach you. Well, you've got to know something about God to know something about heaven. You've got to know something about believing in God, believing in His greatness, His bigness. But then you've got to have faith in the heaven that He's already prepared for us. But there's a third truth I want you to see. When you get to heaven, there's two times mentioned about forgetfulness, at least two times in the Scriptures. When you think about heaven, one of those times of forgetfulness is on earth, and the second time is in heaven. Now think about the forgetfulness on this earth. Now listen, we've got to forget the things of this earth. Paul writes, and he said, forgetting those things which are past. A lot of folks can't get past their past. They're hung up on the past, carrying excessive baggage from days or months or years gone by. Listen, folks, you've got to forget the past. You can't relive the past. You can't redo the past. You can't redo yesterday. We've got to forget the past. Paul said, those things I had in the past, I forgot them. But he said, I press on toward the prize, toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So you've got to forget about the things that are past. Paul, from his own testimony, said that. What about Paul's past? He was a rising star in Judaism. He was well on his way to be a great Judaistic preacher, lawyer, teacher. But when he met Christ, here's what he said. All those things I counted but dung. Refuse, we'd say today. Nothing. They're worth nothing. They were actually ashamed to him when he came face to face with Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he cast all those things behind. And he forgot about those things for the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. So you see, we've got to forget the past in this life. Things that's happened to you, happened by you, happened in times gone by. You've got to forget about those things. They're all lost when you come to the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said those things are behind him, and they ought to be behind us. Because you see, we've got a future filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't have time, beloved, neither do you. I don't have time to dwell on the past. I need to dwell on the future. As I said earlier, those who have an eye toward the future make better progress in the present. Amen? We really do. Well, good words from Paul. Amen? Forget those things which are behind in this life. But when we get to heaven, listen again. Many things happen here on earth that make us long for heaven. At least it should. Things like pain, suffering, separation, sorrow, death, failure. The list could just go on and on and on. Those things that we have in this life which make up our lives, they are a part of life down here. Amen? It ought to make us long for heaven. Listen, when I step one foot over on the other side, oh, that's gone. Amen. I don't even believe we'll even remember we had any pain down here. Any suffering down here. I don't believe there'll ever be a tear. The Bible says God will wipe it away from our eyes. It's gone. Forget about it. It's done. All this will be forgotten the moment you step foot in glory. There was a song a long time ago that talked about when my feet strike Zion, I'm going to lay down my heavy burden. I'm going to put on my robe of glory. I'm going to sing and shout the great story. Amen? It's what we're going to be doing over there. Amen. It's impossible today to put all these earthly things out of our minds. I understand that this pain, sorrow, sickness, death, and all this. But when I step over on the side of glory, my footsteps on that street of gold, and I see my Lord Jesus face to face, and I fall before Him, I'll never even remember a problem that I had down here. They will be put out of our minds forever. Well, but when we get to heaven, I don't even believe we'll ever remember. Won't be any need. Won't be any good. Wouldn't make us more gloriously happy in heaven to think about things down here, would it? So why don't we just try to forget about them now and let these things cause us to be long for heaven. Beloved, are you ready for heaven? Amen. I ask you plainly, personally, are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for Beulah Land we just sang about? Now listen, I'm not going to Beulah Land to camp out. Amen? I'm going to go what the rest of that song says. I'm going to go dwell in Beulah Land. When you go camping somewhere, you're going to be there for a while, and then you're going to leave. I'm not going to Beulah Land to camp out. I'm going there. That's going to be my home. Amen? I'm going to be there forever and forever and forever. Surely heaven is going to be more beautiful than I could ever imagine. Bolder than anything this earth has to offer. Bigger than what you ever could have thought it could have been. And listen, my eye hasn't seen it yet. My eye hasn't heard that much about it yet. It hasn't really entered into my heart the fullness of what heaven's going to be. But listen to me. I'm going to know it. Because I'm going there. And when I get there, I won't have any questions to ask Jesus about why you did this or why you didn't do that. It'll be so glorious, I won't ever have time to think about it. Won't it be wonderful there? No more burdens to bear. No more crying, sickness, death, and pain. Those things will be former things. I like the sound of the former things. Amen. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, thank you for heaven. But Lord, more than this, thank you for a way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. I put my trust and faith in you a long time ago. Maybe there's someone here today who'd really like to go to heaven after we've talked about it in some, what, at least in part. And like Thomas, they said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. Help them, Lord Jesus, to know today you're the only way to heaven. Yes. By putting our faith and our trust in your shed blood on the cross, atoning for our sins, and our acceptance of your great finished work, the pathway's clear. And I know, Lord, I'm going because of nothing I've done, because of all that you've done and all that you've prepared. Maybe there's someone here today who'd like to join us by receiving Christ. We ask you, Lord, to move upon their heart by the Holy Spirit of God, that they may come to you today. And then for we that know you, Lord, we have loved ones on the other side, all of us do. We long to see them again and rejoice with them and fellowship with them again in a far better place than this world, and we know we're going to do that one day. Thank you for that assurance, that comfort that you give us. But Lord Jesus, how we too, as your children, many times take heaven for granted. God, forgive us. Forgive us for committing the sin of taking heaven for granted, that wonderful place that you prepared for us. Even before the foundation of this world was ever laid, you prepared for us. As we walk daily headed toward that place, help us, Lord, to reach out to win others to Christ, that they may go with us and enjoy the blissful joys of heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Yes. Maybe there's someone here today also that has taken that great doctrine for granted. Maybe they need to ask you, Lord, to forgive them for taking heaven for granted too. They may need to come to this altar and pour out their heart before you. Maybe there's someone living in the past when we ought to be looking to the future. May, Lord, they come today. Whatever that need may be, we ask it to be realized in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.